Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's our very great pleasure to have as a guest speaker this afternoon the newly appointed Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Ivan Lewis MP. For your information, Ivan is the Member of Parliament for Bury South, where he resides and I think grew up and has been there all his life. So he's got very deep roots in his own constituency. He's had a number of posts in the Labour Party. Most recently, he was Shadow Secretary of State for International Development. And, of course, he served in the previous government as Economic Secretary of the Treasury, Minister for Care Services, Minister for Africa, and Minister for the Middle East. So he has a very wide range of background, and also as Minister of Skills, something which I share with him, a very important issue for this party and for this province. And he only literally got appointed the week before last. So we're extremely grateful to you, Ivan, for taking the trouble with your colleague to come over and speak to our conference. The format is going to be, we have roving microphones, and there are a number of people who wish to ask questions from the floor. And after Ivan has completed his remarks, I'll call out your name, and if the stewards would deliver the mic so that we can record and people can hear properly. So it's our very great pleasure to give a warm Ulster Unionist welcome to the Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Ivan Lewis MP.
Conference, as the newly appointed Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, can I begin by saying it's a great honour to have been asked to address your conference. And can I say I really enjoyed the speech that Mike made here earlier on today. I can't say I agreed with every word of it, but it was an incredibly impressive speech. When I made my speech to the Labour Party conference 4 weeks ago on international development, I would never have dreamt that my next speaking engagement would be to the Ulster Unionist Party annual conference. But of course I am delighted to be here today. I'm tempted to begin my speech with, comrades, I bring you fraternal greetings from your sister party. Be careful what you wish for. On reflection, that probably wouldn't be appropriate. I also want to take this opportunity to dispel a myth which is doing the rounds. And that myth is that the first question I was asked following my appointment was, are you a Protestant Jew or are you a Catholic Jew? Thank God there is no such option. The old ones are the best ones. I think you would all agree that my predecessor, Vernon Coker, did an excellent job, and I look forward to strengthening and deepening the many positive relationships across the political spectrum and with many in business and civil society. I've been in this role, as Reg said, all of 12 days. So I have no intention of presenting myself as an expert on Northern Ireland. But what I promise to do is to listen, to learn, and then to provide leadership on issues where I believe Her Majesty's opposition can make a positive difference. And I want to devote my speech today primarily to the economic opportunities and challenges facing Northern Ireland. But firstly, a little bit about my political story so far. I was elected to the UK Parliament in 1997 at the tender age of 30. I had jet black hair. I'm proud to represent the constituency where I was born, as Reg said, raised and have lived all of my life, Bury South, a constituency which is about 4 miles from the centre of Manchester. I had the privilege of serving in the Blair and Brown governments as a minister for 9 years. I served in a number of departments, education, the Treasury, Health, DFID, the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. And since we went into opposition, I've served in Ed Miliband's shadow cabinet, firstly at DCMS, then at DFID, and now at Northern Ireland. For me, politics is a vocation, it's not a career. And I've always believed it's not the title you hold that matters, it's the difference that you make. Unlike many of my contemporaries, I never went to university. Instead, at the age of 19, along with a group of friends in Manchester, I set up a charity to support people with learning disabilities and mental health problems. I spent the next 11 years working in the voluntary sector and also served as a local councillor for 8 years. These formative experiences shaped my passion for social justice and realization that for all its imperfections and constraints, democratic politics is the best means by which to achieve progressive change. I believe that as passionately today as I did when I was first elected to my local council 23 years ago. Friends, Northern Ireland is a great place, a place which has been transformed over the past two decades by the peace process. My party and your party played a unique part in making that process possible. And irrespective of subsequent challenges, that should be a source of pride and means that we have, particularly, a shared interest and responsibility to ensure that Northern Ireland continues on its journey to build peace, fairness and prosperity. And can I say at this point, there are a few people who did as much as Reg to make that possible, and we should never, ever forget that. This has been an incredible year for Northern Ireland. The G8 summit in the beautiful surroundings of Lough Erne, the 10-day World Police and Fire Games, the third largest sporting event in the world, which attracted competitors and supporters from around the globe, hosted in Belfast for the first time. And Londonderry Derry being designated the UK's inaugural city of culture. Northern Ireland in the spotlight for all the right reasons, hosting some of our most important global political, cultural and sporting events. Northern Ireland taking its rightful place on the world stage. Yesterday I had the opportunity to meet with people involved in Small Business Saturday and speak at the Neighbourhood Retailers Awards. It's quite a raucous evening. There's an incredible business community in Northern Ireland. I met people whose innovation and creativity, whose sense of place and belonging, connection to family and community shine through. Northern Ireland is on the up, make no mistake about that. Just last weekend, we heard that Northern Ireland is one of the UK's top inward investment locations, second only to London. Foreign direct investment increased 41% in 2012-13. Last week's investment conference, attended by the Prime Minister, showed us that economic growth and development goes hand in hand with peace. Over 120 investors and business people gathered here to signal their faith in Northern Ireland as a good place to do business. Confidence in the form of investment and job creation has come from some of the world's largest companies. Building on its strengths in innovation and research and development, Northern Ireland is now the number one destination for financial technology investment. Television and film have given an important boost to the economy, with the likes of HBO and Universal investing. Londonderry Derry, City of Culture designation, will support and promote the burgeoning creative industries. And it's the people of Northern Ireland who continue to make that difference. As Alistair Nearden, the Chief Executive of Teleperformance, said recently, it's the passion, the expertise and the skill sets and ability to adapt by the people here that is fantastic. Peace and stability, as well as the skills available, mean companies like Bombardier, City, Allen & Overy, Stream have been attracted to Northern Ireland, and they will continue to invest. But a lot more, friends, needs to be done. Despite this incredible progress, significant challenges remain, as you know better than I, on security, the economy, and building a shared future. There is no room for complacency. Northern Ireland requires continued engagement and support. The unacceptable, appalling scenes of rioting around parades in the summer and the terrible murders last week are a reminder that deep wounds still exist and the legacy of the past continues to afflict communities in Northern Ireland. The police service here does a remarkable job to tackle violence and heal the rifts between communities. We must take every opportunity to commend their unceasing efforts to end violence and the difficult and brave role they fulfil on the front line. We must condemn violence of any kind. Violence and instability also does great economic damage, affecting the business community. We can't see a repeat of the flag disturbances at Christmas, which cost the business community almost £15 million. I believe that the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland want to see all kinds of violence left in the past. Nationalists and unionists must learn to respect the equal status and legitimacy of their fellow citizens if we're to build a shared future. It was by no accident that my first question in the House of Commons this week to the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland was about the Haass talks. The work of Richard Haass is incredibly important. It mustn't just be a sticky plaster for issues around flags, protests, and the past. It is fundamental to tackling these problems and providing a route map to real and lasting and change. And it's in this context it is essential that political leaders of all sorts disavow the temptation to be opportunistic or to play to the gallery. Haass will only be able to achieve meaningful transformational change if all political parties strive for consensus in the interests of all of the people of Northern Ireland. Or as Mike said in his speech, doing the right thing for the people of Northern Ireland. Politics is usually entirely about the future. That's what I would say in almost every speech I made in the past about politics. But in the context of Northern Ireland, the best possible future will always be undermined unless we adequately and appropriately deal with the past. Turning to the economy, while things are improving, and we've seen incredible progress, as I've said, from the efforts of Invest Northern Ireland, the executive and the business community here, there are serious challenges which remain. Unemployment remains above the UK average. Almost one in four young people are unemployed. In too many communities, there is a corrosive cycle of poor educational attainment, worklessness, and intergenerational deprivation. This has the potential to be a breeding ground for extremists who want to exploit this poverty and disaffection if it is allowed to prevail. It's also seriously damaging, as Reg made clear in our first conversation, to Northern Ireland's capacity to compete in a global economy, where no country can afford to squander the talents and the skills of too many of its population. We need to rebuild local economies with positive initiatives to create employment and business opportunities. Our long-term objective must be to rebalance the economy to tackle Northern Ireland's over-reliance on the public sector. But let us be clear, in the short term, we have to find ways to deal with the disproportionate impact that this government's cuts will have both on Northern Ireland and other parts of the United Kingdom. It's a disappointment that at a time when Northern Ireland needs an engaged, proactive relationship with the UK government, instead, in many areas, not in all, we have a government which is out of touch with ordinary people's lives and is often disengaged from the important issues that Northern Ireland faces. According to a recent report by NICVA, this Tory-led government's welfare reforms will take £750 million out of the Northern Ireland economy. Already tax changes have affected 20,000 families with children who will be worse off and 90,000 pensioners who have lost out as a result of the so-called granny tax. We have a cost of living crisis across the United Kingdom. Families have seen prices rising and wages falling. Working people an average of £800 a year, worse off in Northern Ireland since David Cameron became Prime Minister. And he has made a choice to cut taxes for people on over £150,000 a year while raising it for everybody else. As this party here is aware, while of course effective opposition is about holding governments to account and criticising them where appropriate, it also has to be about demonstrating that we have credible alternatives to offer ourselves. And that's why the Labour Party are committed to a number of things that I think are directly relevant to the aspirations and the hopes of the people of Northern Ireland. Firstly, pursuing an active industrial strategy with government supporting business to compete and succeed in a highly competitive global economy. Secondly, supporting the executive to bring forward long-term investment projects. Thirdly, providing specific support to help small businesses, which account for over 90% of businesses in Northern Ireland, a business rates cut and one-year national insurance break. We will tackle long-term and youth unemployment with a compulsory jobs guarantee that would put 2,000 young people in Northern Ireland back to work, funded by a tax on bankers' bonuses. And yes, conference, we would abolish the pernicious bedroom tax. It's estimated to impact on about 32,000 households in Northern Ireland. And if we were to abolish that, it would also mean no consequential impact on Northern Ireland's block grant, something that at the moment the Assembly and the Executive are battling with. So conference, peace, social justice and economic prosperity are inextricably linked. Northern Ireland's future success depends on active and effective government at a national and a local level, strong civil society, active communities, and individuals who have ambition and aspirations. It's also crucially dependent on a vibrant private sector and a new entrepreneurial culture. Perhaps most importantly, like never before, it will depend on brave and visionary political leadership. As in the past, my party will do its part, and we will apply pressure so that the UK government is fully engaged in supporting Northern Ireland to have that better future. But in the end, conference, it will be the people of Northern Ireland who will shape a common destiny which has to be based on mutual respect and common interest. I look forward to working with you in the months and the years ahead to make a tiny contribution to achieving that better future. Thank you very much.